Shay.
Hey, Erica.
How's it going?
Oh, I'm so excited about today's episode.
I know. This was a great one to record. We had fun talking about
our girlfriend parties.
Yes. In this episode, we're breaking down girlfriend parties.
I think this episode is going to be one of my new favorites because it's just very practical. It's just, if you really want to hear two best friends chatting about things that are going on in your life, like this is us talking about having people in our homes and, you know, inviting people and the ins and outs of that. I don't know. I thought it was really fun.
I agree. I hope it inspires you.
Yeah.
You know, like you said throughout the episode, like this is how we met friends. This is how we work to like keep those friendships going strong. I hope after listening that you're like, oh my gosh, that's a good idea. And really, it's not that hard. I hope we make it sound simple because it's not a lot of work to just have people over.
We also mentioned throughout the episode, and we didn't even talk about this in advance, but this is an episode to throw parties for women of all ages. So if you're looking for like a little holiday party for your elementary age daughter or your teenager, or if you are, you know, an older listener and you want to get together with your lady friends, like there's no age limit on this topic.
Not at all. Yes. Invite some of your favorites, no matter the age. And yeah, enjoy your time together.
I hope you guys liked today's episode. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everyone. I'm Erica.
And I'm Shay.
And we're two bestie moms breaking down topics each week here on our podcast.
We cover everything from pop culture to travel, motherhood, organization, fitness, fashion, food, and so much more.
We're two best friends just chatting about life, and we're so excited you're here.
Erica.
Yes.
We're talking about one of my favorite things today.
I know. We both were really excited when we walked into the podcast studio.
Oh,
and
yes.
I have air quotes as I'm saying that.
The fancy podcast studio where I'm pretty sure you had to move a coloring book out of your way to sit down.
I might have, but needless to say, we were excited about the topic.
Yes, we are going to break down girlfriend parties just in time for your holiday season.
Yeah. So it's two things that we love. Parties. I mean, I'm a nine. I don't love a party. I like a certain party, but girlfriends.
Yes.
And certain parties.
Way to overcomplicate that.
I'm just saying, like, we're combining some really fun things today.
Yes.
That's the point.
You know, Eric, we went back and forth. I was about to call you like you didn't know you were sitting there. We went back and forth about what today's episode should be about because I think there's a lot of things you could have talked about this holiday season, a lot of things. And if you have suggestions, please, you know, reach out to us, DM us, email us about holiday podcast topic suggestions. But we've just gotten so much feedback over our personal parties that we're throwing in our homes that we've been throwing for years that this just seemed like a great place to kick off the holiday episodes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to kind of touch on all of those. But first, I just have some general like party questions.
Okay.
So not necessarily like a crazy game or a this or that, but just party questions in general. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So what images spring to mind when you hear the word party?
Fun, lively, evening. When I hear party, I don't think about like a
serious
or a baby shower. I don't think about it. And baby shower that is a party, but that doesn't come to my mind. But like fun evening party comes to mind.
Okay. So what makes a party good? Like what makes a good party good for you? I forgot the word good one.
Oh, for me? Looking up at the clock and realizing the time has just flown by. So I always personally...
Okay, that's good.
That's to me what makes a good party. If I'm looking at my watch or checking my phone, it's probably not the best party. Whether I'm hosting it or attending it, either way, if I'm thinking about time, probably not the best. I don't know. It's probably a good party, but not the best party. I always think when people leave my house, I don't want them to remember like what they ate. I don't want them to remember, I don't know, how my house was decorated for the holidays. Or I want them to remember like, gosh, that was fun. Like we laughed and that was just fun. I just want people to remember that was fun.
Okay. I would say Shay knows this about me, but like small talk is something that I do not like. Like when I walk into a party and I'm like, I only know three people here. And the whole time I'm like, give me a line. Somebody give me a line. Right. I mean, maybe people are understanding that. And maybe people are like, Erica, you're horrible. I don't know. But I think a party's good when like it's super easy.
Yes.
Like there's not a, oh my gosh, I got stuck by so-and-so and we had nothing to talk about. It was so awkward. Like I never want any of those moments. So anytime I'm never thinking about that, it's super fun.
I think both of us, and I don't know if it's because of where we live or our circle of friends or our personalities, probably a combination, but I think both of us only throw and attend casual parties. Like, we're not going to formal sit down. Yes. And I love that because, yeah, if there's like a specific place where I have to sit and it's like formal and stuffy, that's not my idea of like the perfect party.
Yeah, that's not our good.
No. So ours are very, very casual, because if people are uptight, listen, you can take a casual party and the hostess or a party guest can ruin that. But if people are uptight or people are, I don't know, being, I don't know, just not participating, you know, sometimes you have to go and you have to participate.
Yeah, you got to try. You got to put yourself out there a little bit.
If it's a theme party, you need to go all in. Like, you need to be fun and participate. And it, the energy that you bring is going to make the party like way more fun. And if you're stressed out or annoyed or whatever, like, that's going to show.
Yes. Okay. What was the worst party you've ever attended? Can you say that?
Worst party.
I think I was with you. I think it came to mind quickly.
Oh, wait.
We went a couple years ago to a Halloween party.
I've blocked it, Erica.
No, you were Jane Fonda.
Oh.
Andrew was Richard Simmons. I mean, it was a little different. It was like at a local place. It wasn't like hosted by a friend, you know, but yes. I think that was one of the worst.
It was very small. And it was outside,
and it was cold.
And I'm going to just be honest, and we might talk about this in a minute, but a party where people are overserved from the get-go is not my favorite kind of party either.
Yes.
Have a good time, but if you're going to, because sometimes those qualities are going to make you more aggressive or more loud or more dominating. There were a couple characters like that.
Well, and there wasn't a lot of food. I felt like the food was very lacking.
And this part, I don't even know what we call this. This was like,
I'm calling it a party.
Yeah, but it was, that's not what I was thinking about.
What
but that
were you
wasn't fun.
Say?
This happened a million years ago. I've told the story a million times, but I just went one time to like a dinner party, and the hostess was so stressed about the details of the food, it really ruined the whole night.
Was it at my house?
No, I would tell you, Erica, calm down
kidding.
About the food. But no, I think that can happen too. Listen, when you come to my house, I want the food to be good. Don't get me wrong, but sometimes like if the hostess is tense and stressed and like running around busy trying to like get all the details, I don't know, that's not like comfortable to me. I don't like to be in that setting.
I think you guys do it well because you and Andrew are both good at hosting. So we're like,
well, thank you.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think you're sharing that responsibility. Mm-hmm. Where some people, not going to say anything negative about my husband, but he's, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't know what we're having until he shows up and it's like a party. So I think I can take on that personality a little bit more because I'm like, I'm kind of doing this by myself. Where you guys are clear, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like Andrew's sharing some of that responsibility where Tab's like, just wants to have a good time. And he's not, Tab could care less, right? Like, he just wants to go and have fun. And he doesn't care what you serve him. He doesn't care any about that. So
but
I think that's a little bit of a difference.
That's Tab's strength.
Yes, for sure.
And that's what
Tab. It's my weakness.
And that's what Tab will bring to the party. Okay. But listen, let's be okay. That's what Tab brings to the party is he brings the let's have fun attitude.
Yes.
He brings the doesn't matter what we're eating, what we're doing, who's here. Tab could talk to anyone.
Yes.
So he doesn't care who's on the guest list. Tab is just, he brings the party. Okay. I just thought, remember that one time I went to a dinner, Andrew and I went to a dinner party and the meal was fettuccine Alfredo with no protein and breadsticks.
Yes.
And so my husband had a miserable time because he's like, it's a cheesy carb meal.
Andrew doesn't live for.
Yes. So I say all that to say, Andrew is like a great host. And he, in fact, like if you come to my house, probably before you have your coat off, he is making you a cocktail.
Yes.
He's like a really good host and he knows all the details. But I will say he's not often, sometimes he's not the best guest because he wants protein. And sometimes people serve like heavy carby stuff, and which is fine with me. I'm like, give me all the cheese and carbs. So he has pros and cons.
Yes. He does better at hosting than he maybe does attending because he likes because he likes to be in control of the situation. Yes. There we go. We're going back to like our personalities.
Yeah.
Well, and I also think Andrew probably is very conscious of what other people, you know, like if you're not someone who has an alcoholic beverage.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. He's going to make sure you have an alternative.
Yeah.
So I think he notices about other people. And so when people don't notice that about him, it's that's why.
Well, I think so, too. Yeah. Because in his head, he every person he knows, I mean, down to like my friends, like he can tell you what Andrea likes to drink. Yeah. Andrea is like a Diet Coke person. So he will like pull that out just for Andrea.
Yeah, like, not too long ago he did that. So that was like fresh in my head. But anyway.
But if you if you invite him over,
he'll have a good time. No matter if you're having pizza, fettuccine. I mean, it might not be his favorite, but he's going to look past it. So see, there are pros to every personality when we're talking parties.
Yes.
Okay, last question. Are parties, do you think, are parties better in people's houses or in like a party venue? And again, we're just like,
I can go both ways. Okay.
Okay.
As a host, I really see how it's beneficial both ways. Sometimes I really love to host parties in my home, but sometimes I like to host parties away from my house because it's more fun for me to go somewhere, have a party, and then come home to my clean, tidy house, take a deep breath, and like take a shower and go to bed. Right. I see both. I think it depends because sometimes people invite us to venues that are super fun. I think it depends. But then I also love going to people's houses. I don't know that I have a strong opinion.
I know. I could go either way because sometimes you get to know people better inside their homes. Like it's a little more casual. It's a little more informal. I don't know. There's like some sort of something about being inside somebody else's home. But then I also know, like, from the hosting standpoint, sometimes it's so much easier to just show up, bring a couple things to make it a little more personal wherever you're hosting the party and, like, just enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We could go either way, I
guess. Can go both ways. I can definitely go both ways. Sometimes the food's better in someone's home. Sometimes the food's better not at someone's home. So, I don't think there's a wrong answer. I don't have a strong opinion.
Okay. Just a few party questions.
Oh, these are great party questions. Okay, so you and I talked. We attend and we host over the years a variety of parties, right? I mean, like, we're going to pretty much talk about three main ones today.
Yeah.
Because they're perfect for the holiday season, which is why we're going to focus on those.
And they're typically girlfriend
parties. Yes, too. Yes, so our husbands don't come to any of these.
Yes.
These are girlfriend parties. But maybe we'll pull in, I don't know, outside stories or quips from other parties that we attend or host. But these are the three that we're going to talk about today are our annual recipe exchange, our annual scarf exchange, which is morphed into like a fall exchange. We'll elaborate. And then our annual favorite things party. So we're going to like break down all three of those and they're perfect for girlfriends.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Do you have anything to say before we dive into recipe exchange?
No, I think let's get started. Okay. So the recipe exchange happens every year
at my house. And I'll have to go back to verify this for sure, but I think I've been doing it for 12 years in a row. I think it's 12. Like it's a lot.
My goodness.
It's morphed and changed over the years to what it is today. But it started as a cookie exchange. That's how it started.
I remember that. Yes.
So it started as a cookie exchange, which I feel like tons of people have cookie exchanges around the holidays. It was a lot of fun. I invited a bigger group of girls and it started as a cookie exchange. And then I think the next year rolled around and I was like, okay, I don't know personally if I need all of these cookies.
Wait,
you know,
back up. So when you did it the first year, did we just take them home or did we all like fill a plate of cookies and like sample them?
No. Okay. So, yeah. So when we did it a million years ago, I gave tins. So everybody got to pack. So everybody brought their cookies.
Okay.
And you didn't have to tell me in advance what kind of cookies you were bringing. Like I sent out a cute little invitation. It said to bring, I don't remember exactly how many, but the correct amount of cookies for the
three
people
dozen
attending.
Or something.
Yeah.
And there was no like, these are all the recipes, you just taste it. Okay.
No. And so it was an after dinner weeknight thing. So the assumption was you would eat dinner with your family.
Okay.
And then I don't remember what time it said, but maybe it said you come at 7. Like you come a little bit later. And I had empty tins for everybody. And then we just swapped cookies and filled our tins. And then we also ate cookies as we were like filling our tins and chatting. And then I provided like, you know, coffee and drinks, and we just sat around and, you know, did that. And so, and that was fun.
Yeah.
The next year though, because sweets aren't really my thing. Okay. So the next year I was less inspired, but I liked the idea of getting together with my girlfriends and sharing recipes at the holiday season, but I was less inspired by the desserts. So I changed it. And I believe the first non-cookie year was we did an appetizer exchange, but this time the concept wasn't bring appetizers for everybody and they're going to take it home. It was, you're going to bring a really great recipe and then everybody can take the recipe home and then recreate it this holiday season. And so the theme was appetizers. So everybody, I sent out the invitations in plenty of time and they had to turn their recipe into me in advance. So let's say the party is December 1st, you know, at least 1 week before I'd have to have everybody's recipe. One, to make sure there were no duplicates, because that's not fun for anybody to go to the trouble of making something and then somebody else brings the exact same thing, you know? So to make sure there were no duplicates. And then I also took the recipes and I made little booklets, like on a Word document. Like, this isn't fancy, right? I just typed out.
No, you always do it on Christmas paper. So it's stapled. It has the year. So like when I'm going back through all of my recipes, I should have 12 of those booklets pretty much of recipe exchange recipes.
Yeah. So the first year was appetizers. And so then everybody brought it and our meal. So then this is your meal. So the party started a little bit earlier and this was our meal and we sampled everybody's. And then of course I had people vote for the best recipe and I had a prize for everybody. So that was a huge hit.
Well, yeah, because I also think if you polled all of our girlfriends, they would say appetizers are like my favorite thing and I could make a meal out of it. So that's exactly what you did and it was perfect.
And these recipes, I personally have gone back and reused these recipes time and time again. They are really great recipes because people bring their A game knowing it's a competition. There's going to be a prize. They bring their A game. So in the, I don't know. So I did a cookie exchange. Then maybe there's like 11 years there. Probably I've done appetizer 5 of those 11.
Yeah, because everybody likes it.
It's everybody's favorite. But I've also done, once I did side dishes. So I provided the like honey baked ham.
Yep.
And everybody brought a side dish that you could serve on Thanksgiving or Christmas. So you had everything from a green bean casserole to a dressing to, that's when Schaefer brought her famous like pineapple casserole that won that year, like a green salad. Okay. So that was 1 year. Then I had 1 year where everybody had to bring a, like a breakfast casserole, like a breakfast item. So some people brought cinnamon rolls, some people brought savory little breakfast bites, some people brought breakfast casseroles. Let's see, what else have we done? We've done a variety.
I feel like we did Mexican one time. And so it was just everybody brought like a Mexican themed item. Yes. So some people, remember there was like a Spanish rice.
Yes.
There were actually like enchiladas.
There was a breakfast casserole.
A breakfast casserole. That's what won.
There was a soup.
Yes. All different kinds of things, but it was just all kind of like Mexican themed. Cause I think that's another thing everybody would say is their favorite type of food.
I think on my 10th year, we did like bring your A game recipe.
Yeah. I was going to say 1 year, I think it was just like, or even maybe did you call it like your family favorite or something like that? Cause it was, I feel like it was like a lot of people, it was very entree related.
Yes. That I believe, and I could be wrong, I think that was the first year though that somebody brought a cocktail, which in the years that followed, I would say at least one person seems to bring a cocktail as their recipe. And it has to correspond to whatever the theme is. We'll talk about that here in just a second about the pros and cons of that. But I do say rarely, really, do I have to tell when people turn in their recipes, do I have to say like, oh, somebody else already turned that in. But when I do, whoever it is that sent me that recipe, they're usually very thankful because they don't want to do that. So okay, the nuts and bolts of recipes, and let me just give you tips. On your invitation, I'd be very clear about the number of people that are going to be there. And we do an intimate, smaller group. Like 10 is like a really nice number. We do a smaller group, but I would make sure that way people know how many servings to bring if things are individual.
Yeah, make sure you have 10.
If there are any allergies, I would put that on the invitation. Now, our group of friends are already aware of allergies, and we do. We have like a very strong berry allergy for 2 people and then a very strong seafood allergy for 1 person. So if you bring those recipes, those people won't try your recipe. You will not get the vote. And so that's not fun. Like you want everybody to be able to try everything. So we stay clear of allergies. So I think if there's like specific food allergies, I would ask in advance and I would include that so that people... you know, you don't want to go to all this trouble to make this beautiful strawberry cake. And then you get there and two people have a strawberry allergy.
Yeah.
You know, that's like such a bummer.
Yeah.
The same thing, though, I would say, come back to cocktails. If not everybody enjoys an alcoholic beverage, keep that in mind, too, because then you're not going to get that vote. So, I mean, those little things we've learned over the years. And so I'm just going to pass those tidbits on. I would make sure that's all included so that everybody gets to try everything that's brought.
Okay, I would say as a guest of the party, mm-hmm. since Shay hosts this one, I would say she always does a really good job where the gift is something that everybody wants, right? Like, we don't know what it is, but it's not like, oh, you win a $10 Starbucks gift card. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I think we are bringing our A game because it's like a nice gift. Because well, I feel like everybody's kind of talking about it. Another thing you could do, though, is everybody could chip in money for the gift. Like, it could almost be, you know, if like one person didn't want to just always be the one hosting it and you guys wanted to kind of split that cost up, you could do something where everybody like chips in just so the gift is like nice. And you don't have to, but I'm just saying, like, I think our group of friends, we kind of, the competitive side comes out because it's a good gift.
Well, I always, as the host, this is my thought, okay? I'm inviting you to my home, but I'm also asking you to bring all the food. Right.
Oh, yeah.
I bring my own recipe. I always have my own recipe, and you can't vote for Shay's recipe because it's Shay's party. So I bring a recipe. I include it in the book, but you're not allowed to vote for me. Okay.
Yeah.
But I feel like you are all spending your money, your own money, to bring food to my party, and you're spending your time to bring food to my party. So I'm taking any money I'm saving, not having to provide an alcoholic beverage and all the food, and I'm going to put that in the gift of the winner.
Yes.
You know, because it's really a very inexpensive party to host if everybody's bringing the food and maybe even drinks. So I do think about that. Also, and again, that's morphed and changed as the years go by, but many, many, many years in a row, I've tried to do something charitable for this party.
Yes,
and you can incorporate it into anything, but I've done multiple times, like whoever brings the most canned food for our food bank gets a prize. And I mean, that was like insane.
Very competitive. Because again, the prize was good. So it caused us to really try hard to win the prize, really bring our A game when it came to food.
We did that. We've done an angel tree kid where I've sent out the information on one or two specific kids I've gotten off the angel tree. And we have just, you know, showered these kids with stuff. And then I've done toys like the Toys for Tots drop off. So I think you definitely can also include a charitable part in any of these parties.
Yeah, for sure.
But since it's the holiday season, I always feel like this is a really easy way to make it special for other people and also fun too, to bring stuff. And so that's the recipe exchange.
Wait, one more thing you said. Okay, a couple things.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay, so when it comes to like the drink, the people that bring the drink, I would say oftentimes our friend who works the latest, so doesn't have as much time to like get home and prepare, I think she brings the drink usually because it's easier for her ahead of time.
She has the longest commute too.
Yeah. So just keep that in mind, like time-wise, like when the party starts, when you leave work or, you know, just logistically how that would work out.
Oh, very good thing to bring up, Erica. Because let's say the party starts at 6. We probably start eating because it's such a window, because I don't want you to bring your hot food at 6 and let's not eat your hot food till 7, because then your food isn't at its best. But then I understand my friends who might be working and need to assemble. So I always say, if you need to come early, and every year there's a couple of girls that will come at more like 5, let's say it starts at 6, 5:40, because they need to finish off their recipe because they've been at work and they have the pieces, but then they're going to kind of assemble it. So I would think about time for both ends, because you want the party to start and then enjoy the hot food immediately.
Yeah.
You know, don't delay that. But if you have friends that work, have them bring the cocktail. Have them bring something else.
Something that's easier.
Yeah.
Or not easier, but just time-wise can be done later. Okay, the other thing I would say as a guest, your presentation does matter.
Oh,
I've learned over
yes.
the years. Like, probably the first year I brought my food on like just some paper plate with foil covering it. And it was like, here, try my food. Thinking like that was going to entice my people. And I have won several times. So not saying it doesn't work. But I remember the year Shay showed up with those apples all sliced like green and red. And she had a wreath and she had like sprigs of pine or something. I mean, it was gorgeous in like a wooden tray.
Yeah.
And it was in that moment that I was like, I can never bring a paper plate ever to like showcase my food.
Because I think her recipe was only 3 ingredients. I think it was like caramel cream cheese and that toffee stuff. I mean, I think it was like the simplest recipe. It was delicious, but simple.
But her presentation was absolutely gorgeous.
And she won. Yeah,
okay.
She won
that year. I get it. It was so pretty.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I would just say like put it in a tray, even if your food is in something else, like, you know, do a little sprig of something or a cute bow. I don't know. Step up your game on your presentation if you really want to win.
I do think you have to, if you're doing this for the first time, have grace. Because look how far we've come from, cookies to where we are. So now we're like, now we've also, because one of the questions was, do you always invite the same people? Andrew and I entertain consistently throughout the year. And it varies who we invite. Uh-huh. But there are certain little get-togethers that I really do invite the same people because it's like a great tradition with the same people. And so this would be one of them. So now I'm in a place where we really do invite the same people. So it's, we've all morphed. We've all perfected. We've all picked up these tips and tricks. We're all more competitive.
I'm not even talking about the party. I'm like, listen, okay, get a notepad because I'm going to help you win this. Get a little cream cheese. Any recipe that starts with cream cheese is like 10 points.
It has.
In its favor. Yeah.
You could always invite mixed company. And I do entertain Ryan invite mixed companies to other things. But this one has really become just a special girls tradition. So for one group of girls.
Yeah, because I think it, we didn't really talk about like the flow, but we definitely eat first.
Yeah.
And then it's just kind of like enjoying each other around the holiday season because we don't get together any other time in December. So it's kind of like our thing.
Yes. Okay, that's so good. Wait, and you said, again, over the years, we perfected it. We've had multiple years where we make it a pajama party.
Oh, yeah.
And people come in like outrageous festive pajamas. Like,
yes.
You could come in regular cozy pajamas, but you can also come in like a reindeer onesie if you want. Like, and there's a prize for that. And then we've had an ugly sweater contest.
Yes.
There was a prize for that. If you give, I think, okay, two things. As a host, if you make it fun and you say it's a competition and there's going to be a great prize, it incentivizes everybody to really have fun. But as a guest, I am so thankful for my guests because they come all in.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I think like, but your host has gone to trouble, right? Like you planned it, you bought gifts, you have everything set out very nicely. Like the least we can do is come in our best ugly sweater, you know?
Yeah, it means a lot to me as a hostess to see everybody really bring their A game. And it just makes it so much more fun. So if you're a guest, even if it's like so out of your comfort zone, I just encourage you to like be fun. Like it's going to be so much more fun if you go all in.
Yeah. And there are special circumstances, but yeah, don't be the one who shows up and like, you know, oh, I didn't have time to change, you know, like it makes the whole party more fun if everybody's participating.
Because people will change at my house too.
Yeah.
You know, people that come from work will, you know, step in my guest bath and they'll put their pajamas on and so that ugly sweater, you really, we've layered this where it's about other things besides the food now, because we also have included a favorite things element, which we're going to get to that in our third party. What I'm saying is if you do it the first year and it's not exactly what you want it to be, you're talking to people that have been doing it 12, 13 years in a row.
Just keep tweaking it until you can figure it out for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So should we switch over to the scarf exchange?
Yes, because that's another tradition that's gone on for probably 12 or 13 years.
I know. I mean, I don't remember even where it started. I feel like it started at Starbucks.
I think it did start at Starbucks.
Right?
Yeah.
So who started this? Did you start this?
Why?
Andrea started
I wouldn't say Andrea. I would have said Andrea started it.
Okay. So, I mean, it's pretty simple, but basically it started where we just met after dinner, probably like 7 o'clock again, something like that. We grabbed a cozy drink. We all brought a scarf because back in the day, everybody wore tons of scarves. So you brought a scarf and then we did it like white elephant exchange.
Yes.
Where we all drew numbers. So if there were 10 of us, 10 numbers, you picked your number. Like the gift could be stolen twice. And
the person that draws number one gets to go again at the end.
Yes. They got to go again at the end. And it was just like a really fun night. We always used to do it like right around Labor Day. So it kind of kicked off the fall season with the scarf exchange. And then now, okay, so talking about how we've tweaked things and changed it over time, we've had it at people's houses. Mm-hmm. It's usually inside somebody's house. We have a meal or have we done it at a restaurant before?
Yeah. And I would say two things. One, you bring your scarf or whatever kind of exchange you're doing wrapped so people can't see. So when you're drawing the gift, it's like
you have no clue.
You have no idea. Is what I have really good that I've already opened, or should I swap with somebody because it's wrapped? But this is one of those parties that we've done it a variety of different ways. But I think this one works better in a home because you can be a little bit more loud and competitive.
Yeah.
You know, it has worked at restaurants, and we did it for years at Starbucks.
Remember,
we did it even when Manda passed away in 2017. We were still doing it at Starbucks because I brought her scarves to Starbucks.
Yes. Okay.
So
I remember.
Only kind of in the last 3 years, we've changed it from doing it at Starbucks, which Starbucks was, there's one right by where we all live. It's kind of like, it was a central location. We could get our pumpkin spice lattes.
Yes. This is, if you guys follow Andrea, our friend, our girlfriend Andrea, this is the party where she wrapped up the onesie that said, like, I'm expecting, and nobody knew who brought the bag. So it was like, everyone was accusing everyone, like, oh my gosh, you're pregnant. Yeah, that was that party. That's what the scarf exchange makes me think of. But over time, so now as many people weren't, scarves aren't as popular. You could definitely, they're still a popular item. But now I feel like this past year, people brought jewelry, bracelets, earrings, home items like fall candles or fall like towels, like dish towels or tea towels. I don't know. What are some other things?
You can take this concept and apply it to anything. So I think you could do a, hey, we're going to have a Christmas candle exchange. Everybody brings a candle or a Christmas, whatever. I don't know. Name whatever you want. A Christmas accessory exchange or a Christmas, you know, cozy hat exchange or.
Yeah.
You can make it specific. You can make it broad. We've kind of morphed ours into a fall exchange. I brought a bracelet. Oh, that tortoiseshell bracelet, which
isn't super fall.
I mean, it's just like brown, you know, it just looks fall, but. It didn't have to be like something with a pumpkin on it exactly. It could be anything.
I would say, would you say there's a limit? I mean, I don't know, maybe like $20-ish.
Yeah, because you're bringing one item. So I would say 20-ish is about the limit.
Yeah.
But sometimes somebody will bring like a super amazing lip gloss and I don't know how much it costs, but maybe it costs $9. But if it's like, we could fight over that.
Yeah.
You know, because I think if your item is good, nobody cares how much it costs.
Yeah, I would say we just kind of agree. I mean, I don't really feel like that has... It doesn't really have like a spoken limit, just kind of, it's assumed.
Yeah. And that's really fun. And you could also do that with, like if you're looking for like a preteen or a teenage kind of holiday party to host, it would be a fun one to host for like younger kids too.
Yeah. I just gave Shay the finger like, we should do that for our kids. Anyway, yes.
I just gave Shay the finger.
I mean like the pointer finger, you know, like, yeah, good idea. You know what I mean? You saw it.
Yes, but they didn't see it.
I know. I really think, though, what makes this fun is like it kicks off the season.
Yes.
And I also think that's something that makes the recipe exchange fun. Like your house is always cozy for Christmas. So just something to keep in mind. Like if even if it's like a sports team, like I'm going to invite all the football moms and we're going to exchange like some Steeler item or whatever it is, something in the colors. It could be that.
Okay.
Just like kind of kicks off the start of something and gets you excited about it.
Yes. You know what else it does? It gives me gift ideas. Because
I do love that.
I do too. Because, okay, so this year's fall exchange, I didn't take it home, but Lori had those big clips, big hair clips. And I was looking at them and I didn't get to take that one home. But I liked it enough that I was like, Lori, where did you get these? And she sent me the Amazon link. And so I bought them. But then I also bought some for my girls. Like they're going to be great stocking stuffers, right?
Yes.
Like some of these gift ideas, even if you don't go home with it, you get so many cool ideas I wouldn't have thought of. We've had several over the years.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay. Listen to that. Hair clips. It was all different.
What was last year? The cork opener.
Oh, that was Lori too.
And I gifted
it. Was like an electronic or something. I don't know how you explain that.
It was so clever. I didn't even get it, but I loved it so much that then that was like my go-to gift for my neighbors, for people like that, is I gave them like a bottle of wine and then I tied a red bow around it with the cork opener that Lori
was at the favorite things party. We all got one.
I loved it so much that I like bought them in bulk to like gift.
Yes.
So you get so many great ideas. It would be a great party to have at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. Okay. What else about the scarf exchange? Anything else we did?
Do we bring the same? I think, again, be specific when you're inviting people, whether it's like a group text or an actual paper invitation. Just be specific. Put on there, you know, a gift up to this dollar amount. Come wrapped. Put the directions on there. That way your people show up and their gift is wrapped so you can't see through it because, you know, that's the whole kind of point. Just be specific when you invite people.
Yeah, I guess just because we've done it so many years.
We don't have to.
Yeah, everybody kind of knows the rules. And I would say now, I guess it just depends when it comes to food. But typically now we either do it at a restaurant or in someone's home. Mm-hmm. So we always have food and usually we eat first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all, like this past year, we were at Andrea's. We all kind of got cozy in our living room and fights broke out. Gifts were shared and we had a great time.
And you can incorporate those other things that we were saying too. You can make it a pajama party. Make it an ugly sweater if you're doing it at the holiday season. You could have people bring canned foods to donate to your food pantry. Like you can incorporate these things all overlap. They're just different party ideas.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so our third party idea, and this is one that we've done at different times throughout the year. This is not just specific to Christmas, but we tend to do it a lot at Christmas, but we've done it multiple times throughout the year, is our favorite things party. And this one is so fun.
Yeah. And when we do it right before Christmas, it really does give you great Christmas ideas for other people,
so,
I would say.
Yes, it does. So we've done this isolated. Like we've had a favorite things party at your house. We've had a favorite things party at Jenny's house. We've had these other places, but we've kind of over the last, 3 years morphed the recipe exchange with favorite things. Because like you said, it's the last time and kind of the only time we see our girlfriends in the month of December because we're all so busy.
Mm-hmm.
So we do them both at one time. So explain what the favorite things is.
Yeah. So kind of instead of we don't get together for dinner and everybody bring Jenny a birthday present. We don't really exchange those throughout the year. So instead, in the month of December, I don't know, we've been doing it maybe the last 3 years for Shay's recipe exchange. We all bring 9 or 8 or however many of us there are of the same thing. And we take turns. Our names are in a hat or maybe we kind of just take turns. Our gifts are all wrapped. So I bring 8 of the same thing, all wrapped. And then when it's my turn, I pass them out to everybody and they open it at the same time. And then everybody goes home with one of my favorite things, one of Shay's favorite things, and on and on and on. I would say we've done it before where it's been a little different. Like maybe you just brought 3 and we had a very hardcore money limit. Like I think one time we even did just 10 and under. So you had to bring something smaller. But for the favorite things in December, we were just talking about the price limit. I would say it's maybe $20 to $30. And I mean, that's higher when you're bringing 8 things, but it's the one time that we're all exchanging gifts like that.
So I would say this is definitely the party for your intimate best friends because you're spending a lot of money on these people. But if they're your best friends and just collectively you've all decided we're not going to do birthday presents and we're not going to go to dinner on your birthday, we're not going to spend money on you in any specific way during the year, then spending $20 or $30 on your Christmas gift makes more sense.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't want to invite a bunch of random people because random people that don't know each other probably don't want to spend $30 on a gift that's going home with another random person, you know?
Yes.
So this would be a more intimate party that you could do with your bestie coworkers or your bestie teacher friends or, you know, just a smaller group.
I would say very like-minded people.
Yeah.
Because we tried to do this one time with my family and bless my grandma's heart. She doesn't listen and she's the sweetest lady, but her gift wasn't really something that a lot of the younger people wanted.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Because she was thinking her favorite thing, truly, which was fun to see, but it really wasn't something that I was going to use that much.
Yeah.
So I think it doesn't necessarily have to be age or demographic or whatever, that kind of thing. But you know what I mean? Just like-minded people where you guys are all kind of using and liking and whatever, the same thing.
So some examples, several years ago, Jenny brought the Bum Bum Cream.
Yes.
Which was her favorite body lotion. And it's nice and it comes packaged nicely. It's a nice lotion. But Jenny was like, this is my favorite lotion. Now I think we all just buy it year round and use it because everybody loved it.
Yeah.
So it, like you said, it's something that if you look at the group, you think I think they would all enjoy a nice body lotion. It can be something like that. We don't do clothes or shoes or things like that. That gets too complicated with sizes.
Yeah.
Last year, mine was like a really delicate necklace. I bought them off Etsy that had like everybody's first initial.
Yeah.
So then everybody got a necklace with their initial on it.
I've done cutting boards with everybody's initial.
Yeah. People have done mugs and they filled the mugs with like either like hot cocoa stuff or candy. Just something that you really like. So it can be something like a novelty item. Like you said, like Lori's wine thing. Yes, she brought that. It was like a novelty item, right? It wasn't like super personal, but it was amazing.
Yeah. And you nobody know? Else had it. So it was like, oh my gosh,
this is
brilliant.
Yeah. It like things like that. It doesn't have to be in the beauty care department or jewelry or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just something that you really enjoy that you think that group will too.
And again, if you're doing it with your closest friends, then be honest on the invitations and give all the information so that everybody shows up and they understand like, I need to bring this X amount of gifts. They need to be wrapped and in this price range.
Yes. And you would, I mean, I think the lower price ranges are harder to come up with, but then people have to be incredibly, like they have to really come up with something. So it usually makes the gift really even more like interesting. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes I remember when we did a $10 and under, seeing some of the stuff people brought, I was like, oh my gosh, like I don't know. They were just more original maybe because it's harder to come up with a gift for that.
Okay. So the $10 and under, we did it with a bigger group of people, right? It was like with our, it was a bigger group of people. So you didn't bring 20. It was when
I think you brought like three. Maybe you just brought one. We've done it several times because we did it, I think, just with our smaller group of friends, but we also did it with like our entire Sunday school class, like the girls in there.
That's when Megan brought natural deodorant because she was like, I love this natural deodorant, which is like so random. But that's when I rethought my deodorant and I used natural deodorant from that pretty much that day on. But it's a random thing. But see, it like stuck with me for years, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a really fun party and you could definitely make it holiday. But then we've also done it in May. I mean, you know, we've done it. I think at your house, it was like in February. It was just kind of
like it was around Valentine's Day or something. It was
Yeah.
And typically we have food too.
Yeah, we like to eat.
We don't get together that often without having food. So usually we would eat first just so the food's, you know, warm or prepared and ready. And then we would gather around and exchange gifts.
Yeah. It's really a fun party. And you can, you can melt it into other parties if you want to, or it can be a standalone party. And it's good for all ages.
Yeah. And I've seen people have like huge groups. You know, like you could do like a big mom's group at your kid's school and maybe the limit's even more, but you just bring a couple. So then you leave with three $50 gifts and you just spent $150 versus buying something for everybody in the group. I mean, you can kind of do it however you prefer. But it's just fun to see what everybody brings. It gives you good ideas for Christmas gifts.
It would be really good to do with like Kensington and Abby Lee and maybe three of their friends.
Yeah.
Because then they could just exchange and bring their favorite things. And it would probably be really fun and to see what all the other, you know, little teenage girls are bringing.
Yeah.
So you could do it for all ages too.
Yeah, totally.
I put out on my stories, like, what questions do you have? I got so many questions about these parties, but really I got the same like four questions so many times. I feel like everybody wanted to know these next thing.
The same questions.
Yes. Okay. So everybody, I mean, I had so many questions, but they really were all kind of, everybody has the same question. So let's go through like our, you know, questions from people out there that follow on stories. Are the groups of friends intermixed or does everyone know everybody? How do you determine your guest list?
Well, you could really do it anyway, because I think it would be a fun party to throw if you're trying to meet people and like get a group, you know, to kind of bond or mix well. So you wouldn't have to. I mean, I think it might be a little bit tougher with the gifts per se, just because you don't know anybody, their preferences on anything, which is like our Sunday school class, right? Like we know everybody, but we don't know them all that well. So it was a little different. I really think you can do it either way.
I think the recipe exchange would be a really good one if you don't know them as well.
Yeah, it would probably be better. Yeah.
I might send like an email out that says, hey, if you have a food allergy, get back to me ASAP. I'll tell the group. You know, I might say something like that if you don't know them really well. But that would be a good one. Guys, so many people want to know, how do you make such great friends? Because Erica, we have great friends. Like, we have these wonderful friends in our community, but it requires this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It requires
some planning.
It requires a very conscientious effort on our part to bring people into our home, to bring people together, to introduce people to each other, to it requires that. And I do think what you said earlier, in your home tells you so much. You get to know someone so much better. So if you're looking for great friends, I just think there's no better way than like opening up your door and being like, hey, I know a bunch of PTA moms, but you guys should come over.
Yes. I think both of those, any three that we've talked about, any of those parties, they also were like easy conversation, right? Because you can immediately start talking about the food and you all have a common ground there. Yeah. Or you're talking about your gift and why you like it and all of that. So it's a little bit easier than just inviting some moms over for coffee or, you know, something where you don't have something to just immediately talk about. I think it makes it easier.
Because it's kind of like your entertainment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for the evening is we're going to, you know, compete over the best recipe or we're going to talk about our favorite thing. It's the entertainment.
Yeah.
So invite people. Guys, this is how we've been. I mean, and also, listen, we've been pouring into these parties for over a decade. Yeah. That's how we have these really great friendships. We're continually inviting people to do things and pouring into these friendships.
Yes.
So that was one about the guest list. The next very, very, in fact, probably the most common question was, how do you pick a date? What dates work best for you?
Like day of the week?
Day of the week.
Oh, I would say, I mean, a lot of that's up to, it kind of depends. If you're the host and you're just trying to get a random group of moms together, then I say like, pick the date that works for you and the most moms that can come, great. I would say in our group, we kind of have certain nights that work the best. And so we know to plan your recipe exchange or to plan the scarf exchange or all that kind of thing on that certain night. We just make it work in the month, what kind of wherever the night falls, right? So if Tuesday nights are our, you know, standing whenever we meet, we do it on a Tuesday night.
Yeah. I think too, for us, when we get together with our girlfriends, weeknights work best for us. Our husbands are tired from a long day at work. Our husbands are doing their coaching football in the evening. Our husbands are preoccupied or just tired. So I could have some guilt about leaving my family to go have a girlfriend party. I shouldn't. I should.
No, you shouldn't.
I shouldn't. I know that. I know. But on a weeknight, I feel like everybody is busy or they're chilling and they're so happy that I'm not home hovering over them, right? A weekend night, a Friday or Saturday night feels more like family night, couples night. So our girlfriend parties don't happen on weekend nights.
But that's just our group.
Yes.
Other moms who are working during the week might be way too tired after commuting or whatever to get together. You know, if your group is a group from work or whatever, it might just be better to get together on a Saturday night.
Yeah. So just do what's best for you, the host, or your group collectively.
Yeah.
But for us, that's how we pick the date. The next very common question, do we give out party favors at all of these parties?
You should answer. At your recipe exchange, do you give out a party favor?
I do. And I do give out a party favor. For years and years, it was a bigger party favor.
And I would say that's not when we were doing favorite things.
That's what I was going to say. But it changed with favorite things. So for years and years and years, it was a bigger party favor because I felt like this is my one gift I'm going to give my friends all year. So it was I gave Uggs, house shoes out one year. Like it just bigger. But then when we started incorporating favorite things, I was still giving prizes for whoever's winning all the competitions. But then I thought, okay, well, I'm already spending, we're all taking home nice things. So then my party favors got smaller. So one year I gave out coasters that had everybody's initial, they're like, you know, so that wasn't like a huge investment, but everybody got you got a coaster with the letter E on it, you know? So everybody left with a little something. And I've given out we have a popcorn shop, an old fashioned popcorn shop.
The tins.
I've gotten, you know, holiday tins of popcorn and people have left with that. I like people to leave my parties with a party favor.
Yeah, you're good at coming up with party favors. So I like attending a party that has a party favor. But then I would say the scarf exchange, the favorite things party, no, because you're leaving with a gift.
Yes, that's what I would say too. Another common question, how far in advance do you send out the invitations? So especially with the recipe exchange, if you're asking them to send their recipes back to you, I would send those out at least a month in advance, and I would have the date on there and like your email address of for the party is December 6th, that your recipe must be back to me by November 24th. Like, and you email it to this email or whatever. I mean, yeah. Just be specific on the invitation.
Also, I mean, if you're doing anything that requires gifts, they yeah. need, I would say, a month too, just to kind of get their stuff together.
Yeah, for sure. Next question, do we rotate who hosts?
Some of that, yes.
Some of it, yeah.
The recipe exchange, no, because kind of Shay started planning that and she rolls with it. I would say the scarf exchange, yes. Just kind of everybody kind of takes turns. And then if we ever incorporate favorite things into like some other time of year, yeah, it's just kind of whoever yeah. wants to do that.
And then our last question is, do you ever worry about leaving people out and hurting their feelings? Which is a very honest
question. It's a great question.
It's a great question. My Enneagram 8 self is like, no, I don't. Because yeah. I always consider when I'm inviting people a couple of things. One, I consider who invites me to do things. So because I like to entertain, I typically have more parties than the average person. But if you've never invited me into your home and I've invited you to my house several times and it's never reciprocated, and then I might not feel like you have to come to everything that happens at my house, right? Yeah. So I don't ever want to hurt anybody's feelings, like ever, 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 ever. But I have to always do what's best for the gathering I'm having and the people that are included. So I don't worry about that. I do think that I entertain Andrew and we don't always advertise it. You don't have to advertise your party either, right? If I'm ever afraid, I don't advertise it. I don't put it out there. You can have a couple come over or a couple couples. People can come over and
you don't have to post.
You know, you don't. So I don't want to hurt people's feelings, but that is not a driving force behind my party planning.
I would say as an Enneagram 9, mm-hmm. yes, but I would call Shay and she would give me that speech and I'd be like, you're right. You're right. I shouldn't worry about it.
Because if you're...
I 100%. You know, what you just said made tons of sense. Yes. A lot of it goes like you need to invest in some friendships, but if you've invested and it hasn't necessarily been reciprocated very much, then, you know, keep investing in the friendships that are investing in you.
Yes.
So that's why a lot of times with these parties, it's the same group because that's who's kind of investing back, you know?
Because I don't want to hurt their feelings by not including somebody. But on the flip side, are they worried about hurting my feelings that I've invited them to my home so many times and I've never even walked inside their house? They've never even invited me to, if they don't want me in their home, they've never invited me to a lunch or, right? Reach a point where I'm like, okay, I have poured enough and I love you, but maybe I'm going to include other people. If it's not being reciprocated, then I think that's your way of telling me you don't have to come.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to put Shay's phone number at the end of the podcast. So when you're worried about this too, she'll give you that same pep talk, or you can just replay this exact part of the podcast over and over again.
Oh,
no, I completely agree with you.
You know,
100% it makes sense. I just think other Enneagram numbers, we don't quickly come to that conclusion. You know,
I love having people and I do, and it's not always advertised. And I think if you are at all worried about it, don't put it on Facebook.
Yeah,
right?
Then like, it's not a big deal.
No, it's not a big deal. But if people aren't pouring back into you, I think that's their way of saying they're not interested in pouring a ton back into you.
Yeah.
So it should release the burden of you feeling like you've got to constantly pour into them.
And just realistically, you can't always invite everybody to everything.
No.
I think as moms, it's easy for us to remember that when we're planning things for our kids. Like, we just can't always invite six people over. We can't always invite 10 people to this. So you kind of have to apply that same lesson to your own parties too.
And I'm certainly, my feelings are not hurt. Again, I'm an Enneagram 8. When I look at Instagram or Facebook and I see people socializing without me, I understand a lot goes into that. My feelings aren't hurt when I see
mine
that.
Mine aren't either. So I don't know why I worry about that.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, any other party talk before we get to our random reader questions?
I mean, we have other parties that we participate in or host, but maybe we should save that for another day.
Wouldn't that be fun? Another episode. And if you have, and I think we could also, listeners out there, if you have questions about other kinds of parties outside of girlfriend parties, because we do, Eric and I both host couples parties, mixed group parties. We've hosted parties that have involved like you start at a location and you get on like a party bus and go somewhere. Like there are lots of ways to entertain, not always in your house. Like we've entertained a variety of ways. If you have party related questions, let us know. We could do an episode on all of that.
Yes, for sure.
I'm happy to.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, they're fun. I hope you do them. I hope if you are in a community and you don't feel plugged in, I hope you take this opportunity to like be bold and invite some people over. And you will never get to know people unless you make a really big effort to get to know people. So,
yes. And if you already have a group and you don't already have a tradition around Christmas or around fall or, you know, just whatever season you guys are into, maybe you can add something fun like this to your group of friends too.
Yes.
Okay. Random reader question time.
I'm ready.
I put your questions right there. Do you see them? These questions, they're all like short and brief, and I thought they were random, but that's what this segment is all about.
Is it because I'm 40 or is it because your pen needs more ink? But I'm like,
it's a light colored pen on like a green
goodness.
Post-it. Okay. Do you need me to read it for you?
No, friend? I think I could get, I'm going to have to get there.
Okay. I'm going to go first. What dish is your favorite to take to a potluck?
Oh, okay. So I always take, first of all, we don't go to very many potlucks. If I'm being honest, like, I think Tab and Andrew talk about potlucks, right? Yes they talk.
It's not our favorite thing, but I would say this is the potluck that probably we're both going to refer to is like, it was in our Sunday school class. So within like our huge church, the smaller group that we meet with. So we know everybody, right? Like, so we know everybody's kitchen. Yes. You know what I mean?
I would say a potluck is not necessarily my go-to, but this one particular potluck that we go to, I always bring something high protein because I know that probably not just my husband, but other men there and even women. I love a good cream cheesy, mozzarella cheesy recipe. And sometimes potlucks can go very far that direction.
Yes.
Right? People are bringing like the creamiest, cheesiest.
Yeah, because when I tell you what I bring, everybody's going to laugh.
Okay, so I always bring something high protein. So I bring meatballs or I'll like really like beef up my chili and I'll bring that because I know like Andrew is going to look at all those crock pots and he's going to try to find the highest protein one. So that's what I always bring. Something like that. Chili or a meatball.
That's funny because our first question was like, Andrew can be a grumpy guest. So you like, are like, I'm going to make him a happy guest.
That's
I'm going to bring his recipe.
Yes.
Because I like to bring that sausage tortellini soup. I feel like people like that. It's got cream cheese in it.
So good.
It's got tortellini.
It has like breakfast sausage, right?
Yeah, breakfast sausage. It's like a creamy soup. Because normally the potluck we're referring to is like in the fall. So it's very like soup.
Yeah. Because, heavy. Okay, if I'm being honest, I always get it when you bring it. Okay.
Because well, Andrew doesn't let you eat it during the week.
Yeah. Because Andrew would not be interested in if there's going to be tortellinis in our soup, that's fine. He'll not eat the tortellinis, but he wants like the protein and not a creamy base, right? Like it's like a dance that we do. Here's the deal. He's got a lot of good qualities, which makes me overlook a few of these. Not so great.
Yes.
I always eat yours.
I think I brought it like once and people were like, oh, this is good. And so I kind of think it just kind of turned into something that like, you know, certain friends will be like, hey, I hope you're bringing the blah, blah, blah. And I'll bring the tortellini soup.
But then I get wigged out by eating from other people's kitchens if I don't know them really well.
Yeah.
And I know that your kitchen's super clean and that you're, I don't know. That thought crosses my mind. So I would always gravitate towards your food because I'm like, oh, I know it was like really fresh ingredients and she's washed her hands a bunch.
Or just someone that you know, right? Like someone that you know.
Yeah.
I agree. I think we all do that.
My first question is, do you read each other's blogs? Yes, of course.
I know, that question was funny to me because we comment too. So yes, we read them daily and we comment.
I would like to say for the record, my computer has a love-hate relationship with Andrea's blog.
Mine does too. For some reason, and we have this same type of blogger service, me and Andrea do. So I don't understand why my computer, wait, that's a lie. It's not my computer, it's my phone. And oftentimes when I check blogs, it's like my alarm goes off and I look at blogs and it gives me a second to like wake up before I get out of bed. And Andrea's blog will not let me comment from my phone. I can comment from my computer only.
It doesn't let me comment. I don't check blogs on my phone. I check it typically on my MacBook.
Uh-huh.
And her blog does not let me comment on my MacBook.
Okay, same thing as like my phone.
Yeah. And so I have to be like logged into her blog on my big PC. usually by the time I'm doing that, I'm like in work mode. So I've already read her blog, so I don't necessarily remember to go back and comment. I'm just saying that to say, even if I don't comment, I read all my girlfriend's blogs, but then there's several bloggers I just really like that I read their blogs every day.
Me too. Yeah. No, I read Andrea's every morning when I read everybody else's.
But hers is temperamental about comments. But yes, I read Erica's blog every day.
Okay, my turn. The question is, we kind of already answered this question a little bit, but what pizza toppings are your favorites? Like if you're choosing the pizza, what are you putting on it?
Everything.
Every meat, every vegetable, yes. Everything. There's nothing. Do you like a black olive?
Yes, put it on there.
Everything.
You can put a pineapple on there. I
don't want a pineapple.
I'm in it for the toppings. That's why I'm in the pizza. I'm in it for the toppings. So like a piece of cheese pizza, I'll eat it. Don't get me wrong, but it does not excite me. I would pass that on a buffet. But if there was a piece that had like everything on it, I'm going for that.
I would say I prefer pepperoni, even a bacon or like a...
Oh, I love a bacon.
Salami, you know, something like that, a spicy pepperoni, something like that. And then every vegetable.
Yeah, jalapenos, add those to my pizza.
Yeah. I don't want a pineapple though, but every veggie and then like those kind of meat.
What about a black olive?
They're not my favorite, but I would eat it on pizza.
Yeah. Oh, I love pizza. We should have pizza right now. Is this our last question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Last.
What new skill would you love to learn?
I know the answer to this.
Okay.
I would love to be a tennis player.
Oh.
But for one, my hand-eye coordination is a bit lacking. And I always say like one day in life, I'm going to pick that up. Just hasn't happened yet. That's my skill.
Maybe we should learn how to play tennis. Maybe that could be our New Year's resolution.
We should.
We should.
Figure out when we can get to the lesson. Like what time, listen, what day of the week.
We both have, because our schedules are full. Like even recording this podcast today, Erica never gets frustrated with me. I feel she probably does.
We're airing all of our dirty laundry.
Erica probably does get frustrated, but she's way too nice. Like if I'm frustrated, I just say it. But Erica would never tell me. But I could just sense it because our schedules this week, schedule.
Say the truth.
Two doctor's appointments, a funeral. I mean, things were happening that I was like, I have a very limited window. So we're going to have to play tennis between like 2 and 2:30 a.m. We both have that time slot open.
I know. Yes. No, Shay texted me what day? Like on Sunday. And she was basically like, this is what I'm doing Monday. This is what I'm doing Tuesday.
Not good.
Wednesday from 1 to 1:45, we could do a quick podcast. And I'm like, Shay, that's all. She gave me like one option.
It was a really... I don't like a busy week because we all know I'm very type A. I like to be control of my schedule.
Yes.
So already my schedule was like out of control. If I could have moved things, I would have.
No, it's fine. Look, we're here
I
now.
I would have.
We're here now.
Listen, when
it
they
worked out.
When they called to confirm one of those doctor's appointments, I said, how serious is it that I go? She said, well.
Life or death.
She was like, you missed the last. Well, because the last one was like right when my grandmother passed away, like I just didn't think, like,
of course.
So she had already postponed it and she was like, no, you have to come. So I was like, I was going to do it for you, Erica.
No,
I was like,
okay.
We're rolling the dice on my health
today
for you.
It's working. It's working.
Oh, anyway, you would learn tennis.
Do you have a skill you want to learn tennis?
I'll learn tennis. I was going to say something.
How's your hand-eye coordination?
I think yours is going to be way better than mine. Right? But I couldn't even read the post-it note just now. I think that would be, here's the thing that we have going for us. Okay. I think you played like athletics. I was a dancer, but you were more athletic. So I think like your hand-eye coordination will be better. You will be just naturally more athletic. Okay.
Okay.
I am going to be more like, but we're practicing. Okay. So that's.
We're going to get good.
Yes.
We're going to win state. I mean, is there state for 40-year-olds?
Listen, you are going to bring the athleticism, but I'm going to bring the structure of a very rigorous practice routine. I will also be the one that secures us court time, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to do any of that. I know.
I don't.
So I see that's what I bring to the table. I bring that to the table.
Okay. I almost feel like we need the podcast to like, we need a video so that they can see when we really step out on the tennis court for the first time. That would be hysterical.
Hey, listen though, Erica, why am I really interested in playing tennis?
The skirts?
Yes.
I know.
It's the wardrobe. I'm like, a chance to go shopping?
I know.
I'm here for it.
It's going to be our New Year's resolution. You heard it here.
My ability, and I don't always purchase things, but my ability to I enjoy a browse. But I know this also wears you out because you and I can be at like, I don't know, Disney World. It's some random Star Wars shop. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to look here. Like, I'm never going to purchase something there, but I enjoy a browse.
Well, she's going to get started browsing for the tennis game.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I've got that to do. I was going to say I'd like to learn to play the piano. That's not going to happen. So, but it's a skill I wish I knew how to play. So,
okay.
Anyway, that's all. That was today's episode.
Yeah. We hope you guys throw a little girlfriend party in the next few weeks.
And that this puts you in like the holiday spirit.
Yes.
All right. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. The Bestie Breakdown is brought to you by Erica Slaughter and Shay Scholl.
It's produced by John Reinhart at Free Dream Studio.
We love emails.
Reach out to us at thebestiebreakdown@gmail.com.